So any question, we have time for one question.
Page 16 of the root text. The five sense objects, forms and so forth, are produced on the basis of a substance, that is, an inner consciousness in dependence upon the latencies of common and uncommon actions. So what are the mind that deposit common and uncommon actions, and what would these latencies produce?
What are the consciousness deposit these two ends?
That's something that
So the mind basis of all is the basis of infusion of all the latent of the latencies of all the actions. Yeah, the mind basis of all is the basis of infusion of all the latencies of all actions. Yeah, the basis of infusion means the repository, the thing that receives, that holds, in simple English, the latencies of the actions. Yeah, and then what about then? What deposits those latencies on the mind basis of all? So the mind basis of all is the basis of infusion of all the latencies of all the actions, isn't it? Then there must be something that then deposits latencies, right, onto the mind basis of all. So this can be any consciousness. So if you assert the collection of six consciousnesses, then any of these six consciousnesses can be the depositor of the latencies of the actions. Yeah. We will assert a collection of eight consciousnesses, then on top of the usual six consciousnesses, then you add the afflicted mentality. Yeah, so the afflicted mentality can also be a consciousness that deposits the latencies. Yeah. And all these latencies are deposited on the mind basis of all, which is the basis of infusion, yeah, of all these latencies. So the mind basis of all is neutral, yeah. So then as for the latencies of common and uncommon actions, let's look at the latencies of common actions. Yeah. So all of us are able to see water in a cup, isn't it? Yeah. So all of us in a common, and we all have the common appearance, the shared appearance, and that we see, we're able to see water in a cup. Yeah. So that is due to the awakening or the ripening of latency, you know, of a common action. Yeah. While we are able to see water. But it is possible for an individual to see certain things about the water that other people do not see. So basically, so all of us are same in being able to see the water. So there's a common appearance of water. Yeah. But what the water that I see, it may have, you know, that appearance may have something that is not shared with somebody else's, yeah, you know, somebody else, yeah. So, you know, you could call that an uncommon latency. So I guess you could look at it in this way. Then we could also say that, you know, the liquid that appears to us as water appears to us as water because it is an uncommon latency of a human being. It's an uncommon latency that accounts for a human being seeing the liquid as water. Because what we see as water is not seen as water by, let's say, the hell beings. Yeah. So that latency causes us human beings to be able to see a cup of liquid as water is you could say it's an uncommon latency, something that is unshared, with others, yeah, only peculiar to human beings. Yeah. So I think maybe we could talk about common and uncommon latencies or common and uncommon actions in such a way. I think something to think about. Yeah. So we finished with the mind only school. Let's look at the fourth the tenet here, which is the middle way school. So if you remember, according to the Hinayana tenets, you have the proponent of great exposition and the proponent of sutra, isn't it? Those Hinayana tenets only propound a selflessness of persons. They do not propound a selflessness of phenomena. The Hinayana tenets propound that just by realizing the selflessness of persons, one would be able to eradicate all the destructive emotions or the afflictions. Why? Because all the destructive emotions, all our afflictions, arise from within a sense of I, isn't it? The stronger the sense of I or self, then the stronger would be the anger or attachment that is induced by that sense of I, isn't it? So, according to the Hinayana tenets, they propound that if we eradicate this incorrect or false sense of I, when we realize the selflessness of persons, then we will be able to eradicate our afflictions.
Chung
So in the Hinayana tenets, in their presentation of the selflessness of persons, they talk about the emptiness of a self-sufficient person, isn't it? So they propound that a self-sufficient person does not exist whatsoever. By realizing that a self-sufficient person does not exist, then it is said that our three mental poisons will decrease. Yeah. So realizing the selflessness of a person is the method to pacify our destructive emotions, and when our destructive emotions are pacified, and then correspondingly, the suffering that we will experience will decrease. So it is important, very important, to gain a good understanding of what I've just said. You know, although there's a very extensive presentations of all kinds of conventionalities, yeah, in the four Buddhist tenets, yeah. But as I mentioned before, what we should focus on is their presentation of what constitutes reality, the view, you know, isn't it right? Okay. Then when we go on to the Mahayana tenets, when you look at the Mahayana tenets, first, you know, there is an explanation of the mind-only school, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. The presentation of Mahayana tenets starts with the presentation of the views of the mind-only school, and you notice that the presentation of the mind-only school is more profound than what you find in the Hinayana tenets, yeah, isn't it? So, for example, in the mind-only school, they say that, you know, on the objects of the senses, such as form and so forth, you know, they assert that, you know, these things, such as form, sound, smell, taste, and such as touch, you know, these do not exist in the way they appear to us. Yeah, so in the Mahayana tenets, starting with the mind-only school, so they explain that phenomena such as forms and so forth, how they exist, you know, is very different from how they actually appear to us. Yeah. Okay? So these phenomena, such as forms and so forth, do not exist in the way they appear to us. And according to the Mayavadi school, how is this so? According to the Mayavadi school, forms and so forth, these phenomena such as forms and so forth, although they appear as they appear to exist as an external object, although they appear to exist as an external object, but in reality, that appearance is a hallucination, is false. It's not true, because phenomena such as forms and so forth only established through the ripening of latency. Yeah. So this ripening of latency produces the appearance of phenomena such as forms and the mind perceiving it.
죄송. 어 근데 좀 다섯 점에 좁다. 근데 숨세. 다 아, 이나요. 다섯 점에 다 곧 섬다는 거나. 이 마다는 거 탈도나 셰버 템버도 같이 아니 섬점에 체리기 탈도나 셰버 템버도 제 데이터 박자 세세 유튜브 단지 숨도 봐. 탈도나 투사디야 셰버 템버도 같이 내 것이 셰버 세대 템버도 보고 그래. 셰버 템버도 데이터는 박자 사세 다 유세지 좀 해. 다 셰버 세대 템버도
So this is how the mind only school explain the existence of phenomena such as forms and so forth. Although they appear to us to have an external objective existence, they exist as external objects. But in reality, they do not exist external objects. No? Forms only exist, form comes into being through the ripening of a latency or imprint that is stored in the mind basis of all, isn't it, right? Isn't it? And this worldview of theirs, no? Is founded on the fundamental premise that the mind is truly established. So primacy, the mind is given primacy in the mind-only school. Mind is a very important thing. And according to them, mind is truly established. Yeah. And this truly established mind, holds, the imprint, the latencies of actions, and these latencies, when they awaken, when they ripen, then they produce the appearance of forms and so forth, and the consciousnesses that perceive those forms and so forth. Yeah.
Ani chiru chanchi nang deshi, yidungwa, chiru yidungwa nang deshi, chiru yidungwa nang deshi. Ani nang di tela teni, da chakpa dan dangwa, jingwa namshashi sungshi. Da di goktabla, ani chiru yuwa mara, yidungwa chiru yuwa mara, yidungwa chiru yuwa mara, tamze singgundi pacha sabwa dhe, chupa dhe sudhuka na, yidungwa chiru yuwa mara, chakpa jaya dha, yidungwa jaya dha, dangwa jaya di dhoktub kudwa.
So according to the Mayavadi school, they explain that due to the ripening of latencies of ignorance, an appearance of external forms or external objects such as external forms are produced, isn't it? Yeah. Which is a false appearance according to them. But for us, we, according to the Mayavadi school, we mistakenly believe that there are external forms, and there are external, we mistakenly believe that there are external beautiful forms. And based on that belief, then we get emotionally involved, is it? We get attached and so forth, is it? So, according to the mind only, you know, if an individual were to realize that those appearances are false, and although there's an appearance of an external object, but in reality, external objects do not exist. You know, how objects exist is only through the ripening of an imprint that is deposited on the mind. So when one, if one has that understanding, it helps, right? It's very much, oh, it's coming from my mind, you know? It's not coming from an outside, you know? Then that helps, isn't it? That does help to, you know, for us to work against, you know, our attachment, anger, and the other afflictions, yeah. So it is a helpful method. So you see, this particular worldview of the mind only school is based on a fundamental premise in that the mind is truly established. Mind is everything according to the mind only school. It's the primary. It's giving primacy. Yeah. But they assert that this mind is truly established. It's truly established. You know? It is possible, you know, to experience either pain or pleasure focusing on the internal world of ours, focusing on the mind itself rather than focusing on an object other than the mind. If you focus on mind itself, it is possible to either feel pain or feel hurt, pain or happy, pleasurable, you know, and so forth, isn't it? Right. And based on those feelings of pain or pleasure that is derived from focusing on the mind itself, then there can be attachment or anger, isn't it, that arises due to these emotions or feelings, you know. So we need a method also to deal with such attachment and anger that arises from, you know, this induced by the feelings, you know, of pain and pleasure that is focused, that has the mind as its focus. Right? No? You follow? You get the drift? You understand the point, isn't it? I mean, everything other than mind, you know, like forms and so forth. Yeah, these are according to them appearances of the mind, isn't it? Yeah, these are ripening of latencies. You know, then it causes us to have these appearances. But then, when you talk about the mind itself, the mind is truly established. You know. Then it can be a grasping at the mind, isn't it? Basically, there can be a grasping at the mind, isn't it? Grasping the mind. You know, when the mind is happy, or grasping at happy feelings, grasping at painful feelings, you know? Isn't it? Which then gives rise to attachment or anger and so forth, isn't it? So the view, you know, that there are no external objects, you know, doesn't help in dealing with the attachment or anger, you know, directed at that based on consciousness, based on mind, mental events, isn't it? So that's one of the reasons why we need to know the presentation or the teachings that are found in the Middle Way School. You need a method to deal with this this kind of attachment, right? So according to the Middle Way School, all phenomena, outer and inner, are not truly established. So for the mind only school, they assert that and then that consciousness and the mind itself is truly established. Yeah. But then in the Middle Way School, all phenomena, whether outer or inner, are not truly established. Yeah. Are not truly established. At all, yeah. So, while phenomena are not truly established, not truly existent, phenomena appear as if they were truly established and truly existent, you know, isn't it? And then the mind ascend to that. The mind ascend to that appearance, you know. So that is what we call an apprehension of true existence, grasping a true existence, apprehension of true existence, which is a perverse consciousness or a wrong consciousness. Yeah. Why? Because although things and events and phenomena appear as truly existent, in reality, they do not exist truly. Yeah. So therefore, the mind which grasps at true existence, the mind which apprehends true existence is a wrong consciousness.
Yeah.
So it is not sufficient just to have the world, you know, to have the mind only school's worldview that external objects do not exist. You need a method to deal with an apprehension of true existence. Therefore, there's a need, you know, to understand the presentation of the highest or the fourth, the final tenet, then the Middle Way tenet, the Middle Way school, yeah.
Oh, that don't that it. Just that, umabe to that sunga it. That chua to the temple to be me say it la. That go a chawan na. That ni mung zawa say it go to be he. That she just sunga it. That till it chow to me it. That to sunga it.
So, the explanation of. So the Middle Way School's explanation of how phenomena do not exist truly is a method, you know, to eradicate, you know, the destructive emotions, to destroy them. You know, the Buddha gave many teachings, and he said many things and many different things over a long period of time, isn't it? Yeah. But it is said that, you know, all the teachings that the Buddha gave, you know, whatever teaching, you know, the Buddha gave, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the whole point, the purpose of those teachings is to lead, you know, sentient beings, you know, to be able to establish for themselves what the reality really is, yeah. Especially what constitutes the person, what constitutes the self, what is the ultimate nature of the person, ultimate nature of phenomena. So that's the final goal, you know, or the ultimate purpose behind all the teachings the Buddha gave. And therefore, the whole point, the very heart essence of the entire Buddha Dharma, you know, when we study, learn, reflect, you know, and so forth, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the very heart of those the entire Buddha Dharma is the, you know, is this presentation of the what constitutes reality, the ultimate nature of the person and phenomena. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so it becomes extremely important, you know, to be able to, you know, settle for ourselves, to delineate for ourselves clearly, you know, what exactly is the ultimate nature of ourselves and phenomena. Yeah, and with regards to delineating the ultimate nature of ourselves, the person and the phenomena, the Buddha also said many different things, many teachings, yeah. Yeah. And the most profound and the ultimate, you know, of all those teachings on selflessness, you know, the teachings, you know, or the view that is propounded by the Middle Way School. While it is true that the Middle Way School represents the really the most profound, you know, the modern Middle Way School's view is the most profound, the view of the nature of reality is the most profound, you know. But just saying that it is the most profound from the beginning, you know, has not much meaning, you know. Because you can only come to realize that it is profound when you see that, you know, in comparison to some other existing view, it is indeed more profound. So So this is one of the reasons why the study of tenets is important. The study of all the four tenets is important, because it's only by understanding well the view of the reality that is propounded by the tenets below the Middle Way School, you know, which is of course more coarse. It's only when you see something more coarse and something more gross that when you see something, when you come to the Middle Way School view, then you realize that, oh, this is indeed very subtle and profound. Then you realize that it is really good, yeah. You know, without an understanding of the lower tenets, and if you just, you know, look and study the Middle Way School tenets, you know, and it's only just like that. I mean, you can only say that it's profound, that's about it, but, you know, it's not an understanding at all. It's not a realization, yeah. So that's the reason why we need to study tenets, yeah. Because, you know, you have to understand this, you know, that's why there are some people who say, why we need to go through the whole tenets? Since that's the highest, really, let's go for the highest, you know, why we need to start from the bottom, blah, 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 you know.
Look like everyone think that way. Huh?
Highest, fastest, cheapest. Many people feel like that, you know. So you should see, you know, the progress, you know, from a coarser view to a much subtler view, yeah. So, you know, and we start with a selflessness of persons, isn't it? Which according to all the schools from the autonomy middle ways and all the way to the great exposition, yeah, all of them assert that a self-sufficient person, a self-sufficient substantially existent person, does not exist whatsoever, isn't it? Yeah. So that, relatively speaking, is coarse, because, you know, in the mind-only school, you know, they refute external objects, isn't it? And they explain how there are no external objects. So that worldview is a little bit more refined, isn't it? Than just the selflessness of persons, yeah. Then based on this, and then when you come to the Middle Way School, when you see how the Middle Way School refutes true existence, oh, then you see how, you know, it is indeed, you know, is indeed much more profound, much more subtle, because you really have some understanding of the views which are more coarse. Right? No?
Oh, took him. That on that team, but it's just on Damaso.
There are always people, you know, who say this over and over again, and I mean, probably since beginningless lifetime. Anyway, this is my own comment. There are always people who say this over and over and over again, probably in the future as well. That's my comment as well. And you know what they say? You know, my time is limited. My time is short. I don't have much time. So what's the point of me studying all these things? You know, what's the point in learning all these things? Wouldn't it be better if I meditate?
Okay, meditate. lepdeyashire inayang ta karsore ta sambo pa shibsabu tangba ina ta gomjaya karishido kyakuyore sambo shiwa yuanshido gomde kyakuyore sambo shide yuanshido nimbo tiibare ta ujumo shaba inare lago goma inare ta sanjijibu shiduba inare tonda tatu nimbo de sambo shide yuanshido.
Well, why do people want to meditate? Why do we want to meditate? You know, what's the reason? There's only one reason, isn't it? To get peace of heart, peace of mind, to get happiness, isn't it? Isn't it? So it's for the reason then people meditate on the breath, or they meditate themselves as deities, or they try to develop a single-pointedness. But the whole point is to look for peace, isn't it? Devo. What do you Of course, if we meditate on the breath, you know, who see, you know. You try to develop some kind of, focus your mind. Of course, you get some peace. For sure, you get peace, you know. And peace comes from, you know, a settling of the mind, because, you know, you stop, you know, all kinds of, you know, it's basically you stop thinking, you know, on all the busy thoughts. So when all the busy thoughts subside, of course, you get peace, you know, right? Well, you know, of course, if you sit like that, you know, focusing on your breath or whatever, you know, whatever, just to feel peace, you know. Oh, if you sit for 15 minutes, you probably may get 15 minutes of peace, you know. And if you sit for 1 hour, you get 1 hour of peace. But you're not going to be able to sit for, you're not going to spend your life 24 hours sitting there and just stopping all kinds of thoughts, isn't it? You know that? Which means you're not going to get 24 hours of peace that comes from just spacing out, right? So the whole point of doing all these, you know, meditations and you know, methods to relax the mind and what have you, all the end of the day is to find happiness and to avoid suffering. There's no other reason, yeah. So, but that is also the reason why we educate ourselves, you know, by learning all these things. Yeah, there's no other reason, yeah. Because at the end of the day, you know, we study all these things, you know, left and right and center, what have you, you know, so many. But at the end of the day, what is it? It is an investigation, an inquiry into what are the things that cause us problems, and who is this person or the I that is feeling the pain. Right? The point of studying all this is to find out, yeah, what does it cause us problems, and who is this or what is this I or the person that is feeling the pain.
Oh, that's 남매 되다 고아 막바좀 잡아 있나요? 단이 뭐 먹고 쉬지 쉬지 쓰는 시대가 아니요.
So you know, through our education, and especially if we think about things and we think through things, you know why we suffer, what is the name, what is the I that's suffering, who is this, you know, in particular the teachings on selflessness, isn't it? You know, even if we just gain a course, even if we really gain a correct understanding, even though it may be very rough. But if it's the correct understanding, it comes from analysis thinking. Definitely, it helps a lot. You get peace. You know. You definitely your mind is more peaceful because we are able to stop the grosser grosser manifestations of our destructive emotions. Yeah.
Well, that today some of them, energy, that, go, don't go, move, 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 go. 갑바디 오늘 누바다 담바 샤시레 신나면도 곰차시 디데 섬나 땅세다 니모도도 가인도 가 신나면도 하시 유도 못도 각도베시 그러바 또 누바 신나면도 곰 곰게 누바 신나면도 하시 용도베시 섬나 땅세 리베다 비제 땅세 다치 니모지 곡도 바충나 오늘 신나면도 라케라 시 누바 신나시
So this kind of thinking and meditation, right? It's meditation, isn't it? It's kind of thinking or analysis, When this kind of thinking analysis leads to, when it starts to lead to a correct understanding of what is the nature of this I or the self that suffers or experiences pain, when that correct understanding, even if it's gross or coarse, can start to pacify, the afflictions, and when it's pacified, it's difficult for them to come back again. If the understanding is correct, So there's nothing comparable, to such kinds of meditation. Because, once they hit the point, they're very powerful, You can really kind of like experience or feel it, they say. So this kind of meditation or on the ultimate nature of the I, It's very effective, very powerful, more effective and powerful than other kinds of meditations. There are many different kinds of meditations, meditation on the breath, on single pointedness, So when you're doing these meditations, it helps, for the 15 minutes or 1 hour, you get some peace, because your discursive thoughts, or kind of settle for a while, But when you rise again, and rise from that session, again, you have to confront the world and yourself, isn't it? And all the thoughts come again, and what are you going to do? But when the meditation we are on the nature of the self, it's very powerful because it is something that involves, thinking, critical analysis, and from various perspectives, So that is very effective, in more powerful than whatever other meditation in dealing with, this, pain. So therefore, whatever education we receive, education on the Buddhist teachings, education and thinking about what we have learned, in particular, if we our education and our learning of what exactly is the person or the I, Such an understanding is very helpful, When the understanding is stable and correct, It's very helpful in dealing with, all kinds of difficult situations, whereby even in those, when you're experiencing those difficult situations, your mind is not know, not that disturbed, you know, not shaken, you know. So of course learning is not enough, you know. Just hearing and reading or studying is not enough, no. Just that alone will not bring about any noticeable, discernible change, no. But it's necessary. But on the basis of learning, whether it's reading, studying, or listening, you know, then you know, what the more important thing is, you know, to think about it, you know, think, you know, think and analyze, you know. So the, you know, because it is understanding can only comes from reflection, from analysis, understanding, a real understanding. Oh yeah, oh it's like that. 真的是这样，不是那样. It's like that, you know. So that when the understanding, you know, when you get the kind of understanding, you know. Definitely, you know, then you will use it to deal with problems, you know, in your daily life, you know, and then you see immediate, you know, noticeable difference, you know. Yeah. But until we get such an understanding which comes from thinking, reflection, until then, we will not see any notice or feel any discernible or positive change, yeah, or benefit, yeah. So don't ever think that you know learning and thinking about the Buddha's teachings, like philosophy and so forth, is a waste of time. Don't ever think that. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the whole point, the essence, you know, behind studying all this is ultimately is to arrive, you know, at an understanding of what constitutes, what exactly is the I, what exactly, how do phenomena exist, yeah.
Tanda kasa ta tanga jo umaba se sunes ta tanda umaba se de ta ne ta re kasa ta ta tanda umabe ta kare sorsna ta dembar de be chu se du zana ya ma res ro dembar de be chu du zana ma ba ke lem be ta ani chi na ma san ji be tu ta ma kasa tela ta umaba se.
Those are proponents of Buddhist tenets who assert that phenomena do not exist truly. That means if those who assert that there's not even a single atom of true existence out there. Those are the proponents of Middle Way. So proponents of Middle Way are divided into two. Okay. Proponents of Middle Way are divided into two. Both are similar in asserting that phenomena do not truly exist. However, One asserts that while phenomena are not truly existent, phenomena do exist by way of its own character. Whereas another asserts that just as phenomena do not exist truly, phenomena do not exist by way of its own character as well. So the proponent of middle way, who assert that things do exist by way of their own character, are called middle way autonomous. Middle way autonomous. Swatantrika. Swatantrika madhyamikas. Then those proponents of middle way who do not assert that phenomena exist by way of their own character are known as middle way consequentialists. The prasangika madhyamikas. So, the teaching on how all phenomena, like even an atom of true existence, comes from the middling turning of the wheel of Dharma. Where the Buddha said this many times in the perfection of the wisdom sutras. Yeah. Okay. And it was Nagarjuna and his spiritual sons, such as Ayadeva and so forth. It was Nagarjuna and his spiritual sons who clearly elucidated the meaning of the perfection of wisdom sutras. So Nagarjuna was the trailblazer of the middle way school. So when Nagarjuna and his when Nagarjuna father and son, so literally in Tibetan, father and son. The father meaning here Nagarjuna, and the son here meaning Ayadeva, yeah, primarily. So, yes, they were the ones who clearly elucidated the meaning of the perfection of wisdom sutras. But their explanation of the meaning of the perfection of wisdom sutras was done was done according to the general structure or the general procedure of the middle way school. They did not divide, you know, the presentation of the structure of the middle way into the autonomous middle way and the consequence middle way. They were not the ones who did it. They merely presented the or explain the general procedure and the general structure of the middle way.
어떻게 제가 진대 중대 실시 진내마 다 다티 시반 다음에 되는 거 진내마 산제 장다 아니 다 잡배 아니 지 돈다 이 가르스나 다 독서 노루 옆에다 두고 하래 다라니게 공부사 노루 옆에다 두지 이나다 산제 장다 다 잡배 다 타규 태바래 맞아 란주에 남자 티그만 타규 타주 태바라스니 다 노루 옆에 공부 타규에 남자 때나 타규에 다와 때나 밥지
In reality, Nagarjuna and Ayadeva were consequential, were middleway consequentialists. They were prasangikas themselves. But they did not clearly, I mean, kind of explicitly say or identify themselves as such. What they did was, you know, to present, you know, the middle way, you know, the general procedure of the middle way, you know, and explain the middle way as it is, you see. But of course, then subsequently there came to be different interpretations, yeah, of what Nagarjuna and Ayadeva taught. Yeah, okay. Then it was later. It was Buddha Palita and Chandrakirti, who clearly showed and explained that what Nagarjuna and Ayadeva had taught were in fact, what you call the tenets of the consequentialist middle way, the prasangika manipikas. And it was Buddha Palita and Chandragati who, basically they said that, and then the Nagarjuna's and Ayadeva's views were essentially, you know, basically the views that form the prasangika manipikas. And that the Swatantika Madhyamikas, the autonomies, the middle way autonomies presentation is incorrect.
What in the Sumaya? That dinema, Anishi, Karsa, Anni, Pesentiment, that Lubin Lectinche, Lubin Lectinche, that ran you tabar, that you meet ever, Sini, and Chica, that you like a woman, that I never ran you tabish to chair, that ran you. 신의 수체에 비해서 누군가 대신 말해 다주의 신의 수체에 비해서 말해 다 나와 탁발했으니 연구를 또 산지 장을 했으니 연구를 봐 다 제비 수수 담에도 연구도 봐.
So later on, the Indian master Baba Viveka rejected the presentation of Buddha Palita, and Chandragati, and he rejected their presentation as correct, and he formulated his own explanation of what exactly were the thoughts of Nagarjuna, and in so doing he became the trailblazer of the Swatantrika Madhyamika. So he was the trailblazer. You understand what trailblazer is? Kind of like the person who started the tradition of the middleway autonomous. Okay? So Baba Viveka is the trailblazer of the one who started the middleway autonomous school. Then who is the one who started the middleway, consequence middleway school? So the different views. Some say that it is Chandragati. Some say that it is Buddha Palita.
What in the shop? That Chumoto shop. That Tondani, Umaba, some men devour Motu was Chipach. That Uma Ranjube, Anish Devon, Anish Children, the Rangit singing to Marie Sinia, Otoxin, and Children, the Rangit singing, Maduna, Dickim Dosini, Swain, Maranjube.
So those are the two schools of the middle way, the middle way autonomy, autonomy middle way school, and the consequence middle way school. Both are similar in that they assert that all phenomena do not exist truly. Now, there's no, not even a single atom of true existence. But the autonomy middle way school assert that phenomena exist by way of their own character. Although things do not have an atom of true existence, but things and events, phenomena, do exist by way of their own character. The proponents of this view are called the middle way autonomists.
Oh, that to die, Karsana, that Karsana, Omar and Jube, Annie, Chuck condition I am, Annie, run a singing to go, run one to go, rushing to go. What to see this one? That run one to go, rushing to go, Annie, Chip.
So the middle way autonomous or the Swatantrikas, they assert that if it exists, it necessarily exists by way of its own character. It necessarily exists inherently. It necessarily exists from its own side. Okay? So that's what the middle way autonomists think. Things, if it really exists, then it's definitely existing from its own side, existing by way of its own character, existing inherently. Yeah? Because if according to them, if someone were to say that a phenomenon does not exist by way of its own character, or a phenomenon does not exist from its own side, or a phenomenon does not exist inherently, that is tantamount to saying that phenomena do not exist. Because if things don't exist from their own side, then what is it? You know? What exists? You know? How do you explain the existence of the object? So the middle way autonomous, you know, cannot accept, you know, they cannot accept, you know, how can things be exist as merely imputed by my mind? Things cannot exist as merely imputed by mind. There must be something from the side of the object, from his own side. You know? Because you know, for them, if you say that things exist as merely imputed by mind, to them it's the same as saying, you know, you can make up anything, you know. You can just make up anything with your mind, and then it exists. It's the same as saying that. So the middle way autonomists say that, you know, if you assert that phenomena exist as merely imputed by mind, then you know it's tantamount to saying basically that things do not exist, no? Because for them, they do not know how to explain existence and non-existence, you know, if they have to accept that things are merely imputed by mind. They do not know how to then define, you know, what really exists and what does not exist, no? If everything is merely imputed by mind. So therefore, for them, you know, things, there must be something from the side of the object, from coming from his own side. There must be something there.
So
So the middle way autonomous. In fact, with the exception of the middle way consequentialist, everybody else, starting from the middle way autonomous, then down to the Mahayana school, down to the Sutra school, down to the Great Exposition, all of them are the same. All of them are the same, which includes us as well. All of them are the same in saying that, in believing, you know, very strongly that things must exist from their own side. Things must exist by inherently by way of their own character. Why? Because when you look for the object, you must be able to find it. Basically, that's what is meant, isn't it? By way things existing from its own side. When you search for the imputed object, it can be found. You can point, at the end of the day, you can point to something that is the object, you know. So for example, when you look for the I, they say, you know, the self, you must be able to account for self. There must be something that you can point to that is the self. Oh, yeah, and in fact, according to all these standards, there is what? It's either this or that, no? It is only the consequence middle way school, the highest standard, yeah, that assert that, you know, that the imputed object when sought is not findable. The imputed object when sought, S-O-U-G-H-T, when sought, is not findable. You cannot point to the thing that is the object, you will look for it. Only the consequence of middle way school say that. Everybody else, starting from this middle way autonomous, everybody and all the tenets below it, everybody is the same in saying that when you look for the imputed object, you will be able to find it. You can definitely point to something that is the object. Yeah. So proponents of the middle way, whether it is the middle way autonomies or the middle way consequentialism, both are similar in saying that things and events do not have a single do not exist truly. There's not even a single atom of true existence, isn't it? No true establishment, no true existence, isn't it? Okay? So, how does the middle way autonomies explain true existence? How do the middle way autonomies explain the non-existence of true existence? How do they explain it?
That 담벌 조치로 양타바 팀을 요구를 했어.
So the Midway autonomies assert that things and events, phenomena, do not have a single atom of true existence, isn't it? Phenomena are not truly established, not truly existent, isn't it? So how do they explain it? So for example, conventional phenomena are not truly existent, for example. Because if conventional phenomena are truly existent, they have to exist in the perspective of a valid mind, of a correct mind. Okay, so if conventional phenomena are truly existent, they have to exist in the perspective of an ultimate awareness. An ultimate awareness in this context refers to the meditative equipoise of a superior, and which is the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. So if conventional phenomena are indeed truly existent, if they are indeed truly existent, that means not only do they appear as truly existent, if they exist in the way they appear, in fact, if they are really truly existent, then they have to appear or exist in the perspective of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. However, conventional phenomena do not exist in the perspective of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. Yeah. If it does not exist in the perspective of that wisdom, then the meaning is that there is no truly existent conventional phenomena. Yeah, so this is one of the explanation of how conventional phenomena do not exist truly, because conventional phenomena do not exist in the perspective of this particular wisdom, the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, if you look at the chart, it's easier. Okay. Otherwise, I would just, you know, it's the chart that, the on the page 5. Okay, you see? You're in the chart, right? Under autonomy, middle way school, then there is the meaning of true establishment, yeah? Right? What is the meaning of true establishment, right? According to the autonomy, middle way school, Tio Bo? True establishment or ultimate establishment, okay? So that what you see in the chart is the meaning of ultimate establishment or true establishment or true existence, yeah? Okay? So if we start with the word not, adding the word not to what is in that in that box, yeah. You know, it says established by way of its own uncommon mode of existence. So if you add the word not in front, not established by way of its own uncommon mode of existence without being posited through the force of appearing to non-effective awareness, that will be the meaning of not ultimately established. Because what you hear in the box is the meaning of ultimate establishment or true establishment, isn't it? So you add the word not in front of the of established, that would be the meaning of not truly established, not ultimately established. So the meaning of true the meaning of true existence according to the middle way autonomies, the meaning of true establishment, the meaning of ultimate establishment is what you find here in this box, in that box over there. Right? So establishment by way of its own uncommon mode of existence without being posited through the force of appearing to a non-defective awareness. That is the meaning of true existence, the meaning of true establishment, the meaning of ultimate establishment. This is what the self of phenomena, according to the middle way autonomies. This is the self of phenomena. And this is the object of negation. This is what you have in the box, is the thing to be refuted, the object of negation. Tiwo?
Otoxine, Chazan, that ter nebadi, Lord Namalang shall want to the Roman Matubati, that demer maybe to us, that on the team, Lord Namal shall be my imba, you didn't know, Tubati, demer to much. And tell what Tubati, the demer members, and that on the activity she had in the shop.
So, not established by way of his own uncommon mode of existence without being posited through the force of appearing to non-defective awareness is the meaning of not truly existent, not truly established, and not ultimately established. It is the meaning of non. I would say non-true existence. Yeah. Boleh. Of course, we have not even started on what exactly, you know, is the meaning of that thing, you know, the very long, you know. So first we have to know the words. You have to know that what you have there in the box is an explanation of what is true existence according to the middle way autonomies, yeah. The middle way autonomy school, yeah. So what you have in the box there is the meaning of true establishment, true existence, ultimate establishment. Same in this case. Okay? So And the meaning of true existence, according to the Middle Way Autonomy School, is establishment by way of its own uncommon mode of existence without being posited through the force of appearing to non-effective awareness. The opposite of that is the meaning of the non-existence of true existence or non-true existence. Non-true establishment, non... Yeah, anyway. So, we have... First, we must be able to, you know, to put everything, you know, say everything out, you know. So please, yeah, please read the page 20 and 21 on your own, you know. So if I have to go through everything, there's no time, yeah. So basically, you know, points number 1 to 4, the definition, divisions, etymology, and way of asserting objects, quite straightforward, yeah. So you read on your own. If there's anything you don't understand, then you can bring it up in class. But otherwise, I will not, don't plan on just reading these through, yeah, because otherwise it will take time. So I will explain the meaning of true existence according to the Middle Way Autonomies. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, probably we can should be able to finish the Middle Way Autonomies, you know, in one or two lessons. Yeah. Yeah, so it's important that you read the root text, but you know, if there's anything that you don't understand, then yeah, you should bring it up, yeah, in class, yeah. Okay? Okay, we have time for one question, just one.
Ken Rinpoche, at the beginning of this lecture, you mentioned that in the middle, the mind-only school, only the mind that is reckoned to be truly established. However, in lesson 17, there is a mention that in the mind-only school, all things are accepted to be the common locus of being truly established. I would like to know, the truly established refer to all things mentioned in lesson 17. Is that different from the truly established that you have mentioned referring to the mind only at the beginning of this lecture?
Did you say that? Do you say that according to the mind only school, everything that exists is truly established?
In lesson 17, there is a mention that in the mind only school, all things are accepted to be the common locus of being truly established.
I think things here would I think things here means mobile functioning thing.
In the lesson 17, is that right? So
or impermanent thing, which is another power of nature, basically. Yeah,
other power of nature, truly established. So this truly established, how is it different from the truly established of the mind being the only truly established things in the mind only school.
So in short, the question can be answered if we understand what is true establishment according to mind only school, right?
Yeah. What are the differences? No. Because using the same term.
Yeah. So, in the mind only school, the other power natures and thoroughly established natures are truly established, whereas imputational natures are not truly established, right? So, what is the meaning of true existence or true establishment according to the mind only school? If it exists, it's not merely imputed by thought. It is not merely imputed by thought. Yeah, if it's not merely imputed by thought, then it is truly established, true existence. If it is merely imputed by thought, then it is not truly existent. So if it's not merely imputed by thought, but exists by way of his own character, by existing from his own side, that is the meaning of true establishment. This is here in the chart,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So that is the meaning of true existence and true establishment according to the mind only school. So it's...
So what's that difference between the... You were with... at the beginning of the lecture, saying that in mind-only school, only the mind is being referred to be truly established.
I didn't say only the mind. I said just now.
Not only the mind. It's not only the mind. Yeah, that's why I said the mind. The primacy is given to the mind. You know. The why they have such a worldview, you know, everything is an appearance of the mind, you know, is ripening of imprint and so forth, right? Then it produces the appearance of form and the direct perceiver perceiving form, right? But the whole worldview is based on the premise that the mind is truly established.
The mind is
because
truly
the mind is truly established, you know. Yeah.
The mind is truly established in the mind only school. So are the things which the objects ripened by the ripening of the latency. So the mind as well as the objects, the phenomena in the mind-only schools, actually they are all truly established. I could use that term.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And another thing is, may I ask, I don't understand the meaning here, in the mind-only school, the definition of conventional truth, that which is realized by the direct body cognizer, directly realizing it by way of being together, the word together with dualistic appearance. Dualistic appearance, as I understand, like external objects and subject and objects and conventional phenomena, what I do not understand is that what does it mean by together? Together with what? Together with the ultimate, seeing ultimate emptiness at the same time as seeing conventional truth? I don't understand the word together. Together with what? What together with what?
Together with what?
Sorry.
You say emptiness?
Together with
Is that together with emptiness?
No, conventional truth. That's the definition of conventional truth, isn't it?
Yes, that's the definition. What I'm trying to say is trying to understand the conventional truth is saying that that which is realized, that meaning, is that meaning conventional truth, or
yes.
Is that meaning emptiness?
That which fulfills that definition, that which fulfills the whole definition, is a conventional truth.
So conventional truth, which is realized by the direct valid cognizer, directly realizing the conventional truth
together with dualism,
by way of being
together.
Together with dualistic appearance.
Uh-huh.
The word together, what that there must be two things, one plus one together.
So the clear example would be, you know, the eye consciousness apprehending blue. How does eye consciousness apprehend blue? It apprehends blue by way of being accompanied with dualistic appearance, isn't it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole list of dualistic appearances there, right? It's accompanied, right?
So the words together with all the rest of the dualistic appearances.
What accompanies that experience is dualistic appearance, yeah. What accompanies the realization of blue is dualistic appearance, right? No, when eye consciousness sees blue, no, that whole experience is accompanied by dualistic appearance, right? It comes along with dualistic appearance, right?
So you're talking about the realization together with the dualistic appearances. That's why the word together. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Thank you.
My way of Jiva. Ninang Jiva. Okay. Okie dokie. So finish off with the usual dedication prayers.